Good morning. It's nice to see everybody. Is that too loud? Sounds like I'm yelling. Now, if you're a visitor here, we're glad to have you. Please, somebody say hi to them. In front of your seats, there should be visitor cards. Please fill one of those out. And I guess you just drop it on the table in the back. I had notes here. Got that one. Cody. Okay, we did the kids. Okay, before we get started, would you look to your right and to your left, please? Those are your brothers and sisters. Let's not forget that. All right. And our verse today for the day? Exodus 14, 14. Well, I guess we'll do it the old-fashioned way. Well, there we are. Thank you, sound booth. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Exodus 14, 14. There are moments in our life when we come face-to-face with a battle we never expected, a betrayal that cut us deep, a financial crisis that left us feeling helpless, an illness that shook the foundation of our very faith. We've all experienced that. A loved one, a father, a mother, a brother, or a child who's very sick. In these moments, we are tempted to take matters into our own hands. We want to fight. We want to fix it. We want to prove our strength, but the Bible reminds us again and again, these battles are not ours to fight. They belong to the Lord. The Israelites stood at the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army closing in. That would be like farmers with the Chinese army closing in. You can imagine how they felt. They had no weapons, no strategy, no way out. Fear gripped their hearts. They looked back at the advancing army, realizing in their own strength they were powerless. But then came the words of Moses, "Do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord," in which he will accomplish for us today. And that phrase, "do not be afraid," that exact wording is in our Bible 365 times. Is that a coincidence that there's 365 days in a year? Probably not. That is the same promise God gives you today. He tells us, stop fighting battles that you were never meant to fight. He tells us, turn to him and trust him, to stand still and let him do what only he can do. The enemy may be closing in. The situation may seem impossible. But the God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who fights for us today. When David stood before Goliath, he wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the tallest, and he sure wasn't the most experienced warrior. But he understood one thing that others had forgotten. The battle was not his, it was God's. The soldiers of Israel trembled in fear at this time, but David stood firm not because of his own ability, but because he knew God would deliver him. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. So many of us are trying to fight Goliath in our own strength. We're trying to overcome fear, rejection, anxiety, and justice with our own limited power. And when we do grow weary, and we will, we lose hope, we become discouraged because the burden is too heavy. God never asked us to carry it alone. He, or God, never told us to rely on our own wisdom or our own resources or our own might. He simply told us to trust him. The problem is we like to be in control. We want to see the outcome now. We want to know when and how God will act. But faith is about surrender. Faith is about stepping back and allowing God to move in his way, in his time. The enemy wants us to believe that if you aren't fighting, we're losing. The enemy, the devil, of course. The truth is when we surrender the battle to God, We are giving it to the one who has never been defeated and is always on time. There is a peace that comes when we truly believe the battle belongs to the Lord. It doesn't mean we do nothing. We pray instead of panic. We worship instead of worry. And we trust instead of tremble. And as we do, we find strength not in our ability, but in our God's. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, faced an overwhelming army. By all human reasoning, there was no way he could win. Instead of running, instead of trying to formulate a plan, which is what we would do, he turned to God. He fasted and prayed. And anytime something big happens in the Bible, you know there's always fasting and praying. We still pray, but we throw fasting out. He declared to his people, "You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." As they began to sing praises to God, their enemies turned on each other, and victory came without the single raising of a sword. Normally, a war means armies and weapons. As Christians, if there is trouble, we don't get an army. We pray and watch what God will do. Joey told me that this is why he's into music. If there's trouble out there, don't get an army. Joey said, just send in the band. With God's on your help, you don't need guns or swords. You just need the band. The same God that delivered them is still in control and fighting for us today. You may feel surrounded, outnumbered, exhausted, but the battle is not yours. It is his. There is nothing more difficult for the human heart than waiting. Our world today moves very fast, a world that demands instant results. We want answers now. We want justice now. We want our prayers answered now. And when things don't happen on our time, when the breakthrough we long for is delayed, we begin to doubt. We wonder, has God forgotten us? If he has overlooked our pain and suffering? If he even heard us at all? But the Bible tells us something different. The Bible reminds us that God's timing is perfect, even when we do not understand it. Abraham was given a promise, you know the story, a promise that he would be the father of many generations. But as the years passed and nothing happened, he and Sarah grew old. The possibility of having a child seemed impossible. But nothing's impossible with God. They waited and waited, and no son came. In their frustration, they tried to take matters into their own hands. Have we done that? I have many times. They thought maybe God needed their help. Maybe God forgot them. God is never late. He's never behind schedule. He has an appointed time, and when that time came, Sarah gave birth to Isaac, just as God had promised. Because he's a promise keeper. Aren't we the same? When we don't see results, we question God. I or we try to force things to make things happen in our own strength. But when we rush ahead of God, we create more problems than solutions. And I put here, boy, have I done that. When we step outside of God's will and end up with burdens we were never meant to carry. When believers trust his timing, we find that God's plan is always better than anything we could ever have imagined. Joseph was given a dream that one day he would be a great leader. But instead of immediate success, you know the story, Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He was falsely accused, thrown into prison. For years it seemed like the promise God had given him would never come to pass. What Joseph couldn't see was that God's preparing him. Is he preparing us? Every trial, every setback, every delay was part of God's greater plan. I guess we're down, but we're never out, as long as you look to him. When the time was right, Joseph was taken from prison and to the palace in a single day. He had given up. Had he given up, had he lost faith, had he have missed the incredible destiny that God had prepared for him? There's a reason the Bible, God's book, says for everything there is a season. For everything there is a time and a purpose. Ecclesiastes 3:01 says, there is a time for sowing and a time for reaping, a time for waiting, and a time for breakthrough. A time when God seems silent, and a time when His power is revealed. Just because we don't see anything happen doesn't mean that God isn't working. When Lazarus became sick, his sister sent word to Jesus, expecting him to come immediately, just like we would. But Jesus delayed. He didn't hurry. By the time he had arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. It seemed too late. The people there were mourning, believing that if only Jesus had come sooner. There we go, second-guessing the king. Their brother would still be alive if Jesus had come when they called him. What the people didn't realize was that Jesus had a greater plan. Jesus wasn't going to just heal Lazarus. He was going to raise him from the dead. What seemed like a delay was actually a setup for a greater miracle. God's delays are not denials. What feels like a setback is often a setup for something greater than we could ever imagine. We may not understand why that we have to wait, why the doors aren't opening as fast as we would like, why the answer we want hasn't come yet, but we can trust that our God sees what we cannot see. He knows what we do not know. And when the time is right, He will, in the way that leaves no doubt that He and His handiwork is what made the difference. There is something deep within the human heart that cries out for justice when we are wronged, when we are betrayed, when people lie about us, mistreat us, or take advantage of us. Our first instinct is to fight back. We want and are taught to defend ourselves. We want to get the record straight. We want those who have hurt us to feel the same pain they inflicted on us. It's human nature. But our Bible, God's book for life, gives us a different command. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That is not an easy command to follow. Everything in our being wants to respond immediately. To make things right, we want to see it now. But God tells us, take a step back. Be still and know that I'm God. Let go and trust that He will take care of us. This doesn't mean the wrongs against us don't matter. We don't ignore justice. We trust in the one who sees everything. He who knows the hearts of men will judge with perfect righteousness. Look at Joseph. His brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery, and left him for dead. He had every reason to be bitter. He had every reason to seek revenge. When he finally rose to power in Egypt, Joseph understood something profound. What his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. He didn't have to take matters into his own hands because he knew God was still in control. And he's still in control today here at our church in our town. In the days of Noah, the world was filled with violence and corruption. People lived as if God could not see. They thought and lived without consequences. But God saw everything. And in His perfect time, He sent judgment upon the earth. Yet, even in judgment, there was mercy. He provided an ark, a way of salvation for those who believe. That same God still sees today. He still watches over the world and His children. And He still calls people to repentance before the day of judgment. In the life of Joseph, he was falsely accused and then thrown into prison for something he didn't do. It looks like that injustice had won, but God saw and knew the truth. In his perfect timing, he lifted Joseph out of the prison and placed him in a position of honor. When we are mistreated, when we are falsely accused, when we are betrayed, we don't have to seek revenge. God didn't miss any of it. He saw it all. Our God is the one that makes things right. He's the God of correction. He warned of this against hypocrisy. He told the Pharisees that they were like whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside, but full of corruption on the inside. And I hate to say it, that hit home. I used to look pretty good on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week. I bet I'm not by myself. People saw religious leaders and their outward holiness, but God saw their hearts. He sees past appearances. Our God knows what is real and what is fake. He is not impressed by outward religion. If your heart is far from Him, for those that are weary, for those that wonder, if anyone sees their pain, for those that wonder if anyone sees their pain, for those who think they can sin without consequences, for those who think they can deceive the world, God sees. He is not distant. He is not unaware. He is always watching. He is working. And in His perfect time, He will bring everything into the light. Faith is not just believing when things are easy. Faith is not just trusting God whenever things are going well. True faith is tested in the fire. The Bible tells us, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. The world will shake, circumstances will change, and storms will come. But those who stand firm in the faith will not be moved. And as Joey's team comes forward, before 12, is Jesus the Lord of your life? 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Is it your day? If you're thinking to yourself, is Kent talking to me? Then yes, I'm talking to you. Let me ask again, is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you want to join our church, please come down to the altar. We'd be happy to have you and glad to have you. The altar is open. Maybe you need to pray for a neighbor, a friend, me, or this church. But if you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus, I know nobody likes to run down the aisle, but I'd come on down the aisle and make that right. I'd say a prayer right down here.
Stand with me. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Precious.
Miss Sandy, phew, Lord have mercy. Miss Sandy's having an echocardiogram on Wednesday, so she'd like for us to pray for her. So can we take just a moment and thank Kent for bringing the word this morning? Brother, it's much needed. I know that was a word from the Lord, so thank you so much for spending the time and preparation and bringing that to us. Are all minds and hearts clear? Again, no service tonight. Spend some time with your family. We'll see you back Wednesday night. Lord, we come to you, we thank you, and we praise you. God, I ask that you keep us safe and bring us back to our next appointed time in your holy presence.